We are going to look at what I consider, what I believe is to be one of the most important questions you can answer, if not the most important question that you will ever answer. You say, why is it so important? Because it's this question has to deal with where you will spend eternity. Back in the Bible times, they talked about in this chapter we're going to look at, there's people wondering who Jesus is, and people are taking guesses who they think Jesus is. And I think most important question you can answer for yourself is, who is Jesus Christ? Who was he, and what are you going to do with him? So here in the book of Luke, chapter number 9, we're going to look at this thought, who is Jesus? As I was contemplating this, and I thought, man, you could write so much, you could preach so much, you could have series of sermons about who Jesus is. And I even went and did a little bit of research, and there's people and organizations out there today that will go out on the street and ask people, who is Jesus? And they have a lot of those videos, you know, things like YouTube videos and things like that. It says, who is Jesus? And they go on college campuses and New York City, even over to overseas places. And you'd be surprised by some of the answers. Well, maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but there's a lot of people who do not know who the biblical Jesus is. Some of the answers, they said things like, he was our Lord and Savior. Others, you know, he was a good man, a good teacher. One girl called him a dude, whatever that means. It says the guy with a beard. But it was over and over when you watch these things and you read these things, there was a lack of knowledge. Even some of them had based their perception of Jesus Christ off of a TV show or a cartoon. They based their perception off of what different legends have told them. And it's important to get this question right, to get this answer right, to know who Jesus Christ is. They asked not only that question, who is Jesus? And depending on their response, they would ask them a different question. And almost every time they said, I don't think he was supernatural. I think he was a good man. I think he was a good teacher. I think he was just a human. And that's not what the Bible tells us. And that's why it's important to understand that, and we're going to see this morning, that even back in Bible times, when Jesus was walking these paths, going into the cities, healing many, feeding multitudes like we learned last week with just a few loaves and a few fishes, and bringing people back from the dead, people still didn't know who Jesus was. And people were asking this question. Obviously, if there was a man walking in the United States and all these things were happening, everybody would be wondering, I wonder who that person is. I wonder what their gimmick is. I wonder exactly what's going on. And in this story here, you're going to see that Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he turns it to them and says, who do you say that I am? Because it doesn't matter what everybody else in the world says about Jesus. It matters about what you think about Jesus. So this morning we're going to look at this question, who is Jesus? We're going to start with Herod in Luke chapter number 9. Let's look in verse number 7. Now, we remember last week we looked at the disciples. They got departed out, and they went out, and remember how they healed people and things like that. In verse number 7, Luke chapter 9, verse number 7 says, now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him. Who are they referring to? Referring to Jesus. And he was perplexed. Herod was confused. You know, Herod here, he is a leader at the time. He's a king of an area. He's perplexed. He knows about the Messiah, but he can't say that this man is the Messiah. He's perplexed and he's confused, and he says, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. So, well, who's that John? Well, most of us would know that's John the Baptist. Now, Herod, a few chapters back, had John the Baptist put to death. He had his head beheaded from him. And if John had raised from the dead, Herod would be thinking that John would be coming looking after him. So he's perplexed here. He's nervous. Look what it says in verse number 8. And it's some that Isaiah had appeared. Remember that back in the Old Testament times, they said Elijah was going to come again, and many people think that was in the spirit of Elijah with John the Baptist. And of others, that one of the prophets was risen again. So they were all saying, you know what, it could be one of the older prophets, it could be Elijah coming back to life, it could be John the Baptist coming back to life to haunt Herod. Verse number 9, and Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. So he wanted to see him. He wanted to not learn of him. We learn later on in the Bible, he wanted to see him do some of his miracles. Now let's go ahead and jump forward. We talked about verses 10 all the way through verse 17 last week, but we're going to look at verses 18 through 26 here. And it came to pass as he was alone praying. Who's this referring to? Is Jesus. He's there and he's praying. And there was alone praying. His disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" So he looks to the disciples and Jesus already knows this. But Jesus is asking them a question to get them thinking, to get them talking, to help them understand, because he's going to ask them another question in a second. And always God wants us to learn through every circumstance, and God can teach us things through every situation. So we should always be learning and growing. Verse number 19, they respond. They answering said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen." Again, so we see the same things from verses earlier. Verse number 20, "And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" So he turns to the disciples and says, okay, that's what they think. Now you've been with me. You've been with me for these years. You've seen the miracles. You've heard my teaching. You've seen all that. You've lived with me. You know that I do not sin. Who do you think I am? And look at the response. Peter, who's known for being the guy who always likes to answer or quick to answer, he says, "The Christ of God." Which is referenced there is talking about the Messiah, is talking about the anointed one, talking about the one who was going to come into the world. Verse 22, and Jesus here takes the perception, he changes their perspective. He says, okay, you got it right, but now there's something I need to tell you. This is the first of the four times Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to have to suffer, that he's going to have to die. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." So he tells them, because they're thinking that their Messiah is going to come. They're going to take care of all Rome, take care of all the religious leaders. They're going to worship together with him on the crown. But no, Jesus says, there's a change of plans here. You say that I am the Christ of God. You say that I am the Messiah. Now let me, and you're right, but let me tell you what's going to happen next. Because many times people think, oh, this is what Jesus would do, or this is what Jesus would say, but they really don't know what manner of spirit he was of. He had come to this world to die for the sins of mankind the first time. He will come again. He will rule and he will reign, but this is what he came here for. So he begins to tell them that. Verse 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me." This is not what they were expecting. This is not what they were thinking. If he was the Messiah, they were going to get to rule and they were going to get to reign with him. But he's saying, hey, look, there's a cross I have to bear. There's a cross I have to endure. And look, if you're going to follow after me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow after me too. Let's keep on going. But then he gives a reason here. He says, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" And in other parts of the Bible, it talks about what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul. And it gives the same impression here, just in different wording. He says, if you gain the whole world, because they're thinking about how great it's going to be to reign, how great it's going to be to be with Jesus, because he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to enter the kingdom. We're going to get to reign with him. He says, what would it matter if you gain the whole world and you lost your soul? And he keeps on going, and he says, for verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory, and his fathers and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not take a taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Now the verses following after this talks about the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what we think that verse 27 give reference to. Verse 26 is talking about being ashamed of Jesus. And at this point, Judas is still sitting with them. Many people do not know when Judas actually decided that he was going to betray Jesus. Some commentators, some of the really, really smart people think this might have been the time. When he realized that Jesus was not going to be Messiah now, that he was not going to be king now, and that he was going to have to take up his cross, and that he was headed toward a life of ministry and a life of discipleship, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. But in this story here today, we're going to focus on this thought. who is Jesus. First thing I want you to think about is what others are saying about him. What others are saying about him. Verse number 18, he asked the disciples, whom say ye the people that I am? And they answering, John the Baptist and some Elias and others, they say that one of the old prophets. So here's some different people. Now, why would they think he was John the Baptist? Well, many people think he could have been John the Baptist because the boldness that John the Baptist preached with. He preached with authority, and that's what Jesus is known for. He's known for preaching with authority and preaching his power. And he even says in other spots in the Bible, it wasn't like the scribes. It wasn't like the religious leaders. He preached and he taught with someone with authority. And that's what John the Baptist did. So when he goes out and he's doing this, maybe it's John the Baptist. And then they ask the question, maybe it's Elijah, or they call it Elias. And that's a reference to the Old Testament prophet of Elijah. Why would they think it was him? Because Elijah's known for what? For doing miracles. He's known for many things, but he's the guy that called fire down from heaven, and the Old Testament had prophesied he was going to return again. And so that's, maybe it's Elijah. And then in some thought, it could have been one of the other older prophets. Another spot, when it's talking about the same conversation, they used the name Jeremiah. Or Jeremiah's. And they said, why? Because Jeremiah was a very passionate person. He's known for weeping. And they had the multitudes that seen him weeping over Jerusalem and weeping at different times because of the lack of spirituality. So there's a lot of people who say a lot of different things about Jesus. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah. Some say it's another prophet. And you will come across people all across this world that have their own opinions about Jesus Christ, who have their own thoughts about Jesus Christ, and some that are willing to be very vocal about it, who some would say he was just a good man. Some who say he was a great teacher. Some would say he was sent from God but was not God. And there are as many people who has many different opinions about Jesus. Second thing I want you to think about, not only what others are saying about him, but what do you say about him? Verse number 20, he turns around and makes it personal. But whom say that ye that I am? Jesus looks at them, he says, okay, we got that out of the way. There are people who are confused. There are people who will not believe. There are people who will watch him do miracle after miracle and still refuse to believe that he was the Messiah. But the important question is, who do you say he is? Who is it that you say that I am? Because that's the question you have to answer. Was he Jesus? Was he the Son of God? Was he God in the flesh that came and died for the sins of mankind? Is he Jesus? And that's what he's asking his disciples. Okay, what do you believe? See, someday we will not stand before God because of what somebody else thought. Someday we will not stand before God because Herod thought he was John the Baptist and say, well, I'm with Herod. No, we'll stand before God for how we look at him. It won't be about the masses. It won't be about all those people in those videos that said all these different things. We will stand before a holy God someday answering this question, what did I do with Jesus Christ? What did I believe about Jesus Christ? When Jesus asked his disciples this question, remember he's talking to them that had spent much time with him. They had experienced his ministry. They have seen the power. And Peter pipes up, he is the Christ of God. Jesus accepts this confession. Here's one little thing I want you to remember. Some will say he was a good man. But if Jesus was a good man and not the Messiah, when Peter says that he's the Christ of God, Jesus would have said, no, I'm not. But he doesn't. He accepts all praise. He accepts all worship. He accepts all glory. Why? Because he deserves it. You fast forward to the book of Acts. Someone tries to worship a disciple. What do? They said, no, get up. I'm just a man. And he points him to Christ. He would have never, ever accepted the worship if he was not the Christ of God. He would have never said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and be a good man and still lie about that. So either he was the Messiah or he was just a good man, but a good man wouldn't lie and deceive people, would he? He must have been the Messiah. He must have been the anointed one. He must have been the chosen of God, or he was the greatest liar of all time. So who is Jesus to you? Because this idea of him being a good man or just a good teacher, just another human, that's not right. It's either, hey, he was the Messiah, he was the anointed one, he was the one that came to die for the sins of the world, or he was the greatest liar of all time, and we should just close up our Bibles and go home. But the reality is, we know he was Christ. And that's what Peter said. He was Christ of God, the anointed one, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, the revealer, the redeemer, the ruler. You could spend hours just talking about him. They saw him. They believed him. But who do you say he is? Now, we heard what the masses said. We saw what the disciples says. But who do you say he is today? If you go and you ask this question to every other religion out there, and I don't think Christianity is a religion, it's a personal relationship with God, but if you ask them, what do you think of Jesus Christ, they will tell you, he's created of God. But the Bible tells us something different. They'll tell you he was a good man. They'll tell you he was a prophet. But Jesus Christ was the Son of God, God himself. So what does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? So we saw what others thought. We saw what the disciples thought. What does the Bible say? And it says in verse number 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders and of chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised from the third day. Now, let's go to John chapter number 1. It's not that far away. It's to the right of your Bible, probably about 10 or 15 pages. The Gospel of John chapter number 1. Now, we could spend hours talking about what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As we mentioned, he is our Redeemer. Someday he will rule. He is God's, the chosen one of God. But in John chapter 1, it gives us some really interesting verses that just gives us a little hint of who Jesus Christ was, who Jesus claimed to be. John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is in reference to Jesus Christ. It says he was with God and that he was God. And we're talking about him being part of the Trinity. And we're not going to dive into that, but I want you to see that he was there with God. He was God. Now drop down to verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So it means that he was with God since the beginning. There was no beginning, no end. He's always been with God. He comes into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we see that he is God, and he comes into this world. Another verse, it says in verse number 29, you have John the Baptist speaking here. And it says in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You don't see John the Baptist saying, hey, look, there's the next Messiah, there's the next king, we're going to rule with him. No, he says, look, there's the Lamb of God. There it comes, God's chosen sacrifice to pay for what? The sins of the world. So we see here, first of all, what others say about him. We see here what the disciples said about him. We must ask ourselves this question, what do you say about him? But most importantly, what's the Bible say? You can go back to Luke chapter number 9 now. The Bible told us some important facts. It said, hey, Jesus is God, the Son of God, and he came into this world. And as he came into this world knew him not. He came unto his own. They're talking about the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, and they received him not. But he became our sacrifice for us. That's who Jesus is. He paid our sin penalty for us. And you say, what does it mean, the Lamb of God? It means that back in the Old Testament, that they had to kill lambs because of the sin they did. They sacrificed millions of lambs over those years. But when John the Baptist saw him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, they were referring to the fact he was going to be the final sacrifice. He was going to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins and for the sins of all mankind. So what does the Bible say about him? He's God. And he died for you and for your sins. Fourth thing I want you to see about, not only is it what others say and what the disciples said, and we have to ask ourselves personally who Jesus is to us and what the Bible says about him. But here's the question is, what will you do with him? And this is the whole crux of the matter. What are you going to do with him now? You know, in the Bible, and I think it's amazing here, in the New Testament, over and over, you see people seeing and experiencing Jesus' miracles, and you see people accepting him, but you see people rejecting him. You see people accepting and believing in him and trusting in him, and God working through Jesus, and God doing all these things, But then you see others like the Pharisees and many of the Sadducees and many of the lawyers of the day that would question Jesus, that would mock Jesus, that would put Jesus to death. But the question is, you don't have to stand for those Pharisees. You're not going to stand before God for Herod or for Pilate. You're not going to stand before God for Judas or for Peter or for any of the disciples. You will someday stand before God answering this question, what did you do with Jesus Christ? Have you ever put your faith and trust in him? After you answer the question who Jesus is, what will you do with him is the next important question you must answer. I love the story of surrounding Christ's crucifixion. There's so many different things going on, so many different subplots going on. You see all the different people watching, all the people gazing, all the people, and Pilate's there. Pilate's confused. He's a figurehead in a sense. He's a politician to the truest form. And he knows that Jesus is innocent. He knows he's supposed to let him go. But the masses are crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate tries to distract the issue and tries to say, here, look, you can have Barabbas. You can take. And they said, no. We want Jesus crucified, not Barabbas. And Pilate comes and he asks this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What should I do with him? If he is God, and if he did die for my sins, what should I do? 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now listen to this phrase, this verse. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. People say, I don't need Jesus Christ. It's all about my good works. So the Bible says, hey, look, if you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what will you do with him today? Amen. Will you accept him? Will you believe in him? The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that we can be saved. That God hath raised him from the dead, that he was the chosen one, that he was the Messiah, that he is our Lord and Savior. Have you ever accepted him today? This is the greatest question you'll ever answer. Who is Jesus? Because if he is the Messiah, which I believe with all my heart he is Lord and Savior. He is the only way to heaven. But you continue on in the passage. Jesus is speaking to them. He is trying to give them an example of what's going to happen. And he says in verse 22, not only is he all these things, he is the one that must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests. He's telling the disciples something for the first time and they miss it. And scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. So he tells them, I am the one that must suffer and die and be the Lamb of God for your sins. But then he instructs in something even greater. He says, this is what's going to happen for you. I know you were planning on ruling and reigning with me, and someday that will happen, but this is the life that you should do. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Some people say, well, I can accept him, and I can be happy, and I can do whatever I want because I'm going on my way to heaven. That's not why God saved you. There was one lady in the videos yesterday. I was looking through some of the videos, and some of them weren't things I would suggest watching. Some of them I had to stop and start other ones. One lady said, he is Lord and Savior, and that means that I can do whatever I want with the rest of my life and still go to heaven. I was like, man, she missed the whole point. Look what Jesus tells his disciples in the next verse. Look what he says. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Go up to verse number 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It doesn't seem like a life of prestige when you're talking about the cross. It doesn't seem like an easy life when it talks about denying yourself. Disciples were planning and looking forward to someday ruling and reigning. They even talked about who was going to be the greatest among them. And Jesus says, you've missed it all. He says, it's going to be a life of denial. It's going to be a life of following after me. But it's the life you need to agree. This is the life that's best for you. Because it says in verse 25, for what is it an advantage if a man gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The question is there, if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what would be the advantage if you were king of the world and died without knowing Christ and have your soul cast away into hell forever? What benefit would it be? What advantage would it be if you could have everything you ever desired, but still lose your soul? So this is the Christian life, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it today because someday we might look at discipleship again in the book of Luke. But look at his words one more time, verse 23. If any man will come after me, where's Christ headed? He's headed to the cross. And he has just said he's going to have to suffer many things. And it says, let him deny himself. So many times Christian people say, oh, you're just preaching about rules and regulations. Jesus says that we should deny ourselves when it comes to our fleshly lust here. When we have a desire to do what's wrong, when we have desires to do things that go against God's will and go against God's commandments, when we desire to be lazy, he says you have to deny yourself. This morning, I usually get up pretty early on Sunday mornings, and this morning I was, one of the main things I do to begin with, I do some praying, some reading, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, man, I like to go back to bed for a half hour, 45 minutes. I thought that I had my sermon pretty well done, and I started going through my sermon one more time, and I came to this spot and he says, deny yourself. I thought, you know, that's the perfect example there. There is my fleshly desires was not to do what I want, not to do what I was supposed to do, was get up and spend more time in the sermon, more time praying, more time doing God's work, and it's his day. And I said to myself, boy, I'd like to go back to sleep. And I says, this is what a disciple of Jesus Christ is. Not always getting what you want. Now, I'm not saying that you can never go back to sleep and that's evil and that's wrong. But in my life, what I'm saying here is right now is that I knew what I was supposed to do. But my flesh was saying, I want you to do something else. I knew that this is what I desired, and this is what my flesh wanted, but this is what God wanted. That's what I'm saying. I need to deny the flesh and do the things that God wants. That's the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. But you don't ever become a disciple until you really know who Jesus is, until you answer him. So I don't want anybody to be confused. There's two completely separate things here. Jesus is asking the disciples a question and says, who do men say that I am? They give the responses. They say, okay, Jesus says to them, who do you think I am? And they give the response. They know that he's the Messiah. He says, because you know that I'm the Messiah, because you have accepted that, this is your life that's going to be in the future. This is what you need to do to follow after me. But many people get stuck here. They know who he is, but they never accept him. They never believe him. Judas, I believe he had to know he was the Messiah. He just didn't think he was the Messiah. He didn't do what Judas wanted him to do. And many times people turn their back on Christ and turn their back on Jesus and just say, it's not the type of person I thought he should be. A loving God wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. The question is, who is Jesus? Because if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that died for the sins of mankind, you need to accept him and believe in him. Or, as the Bible says, you'll be lost forever, cast away forever. Jesus loves each and every person that's ever been born into this world, and he died for those people. He tastes death for all men. What will you do with him today? And if you believe that he is the Messiah and that he is Jesus, are you serving him? You read those verses that it talks about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and it says daily following after him. Man, I think a lot of us pale in comparison to that, don't we? Couldn't we do more? Shouldn't we do more? Remember who he is. He's God, and he died for me. He loves me, and he cares for me. Shouldn't we be willing to do more? On my prayer list, I have some praises, and I have my salvation, I think might be the first one. And I think often when I'm praying, I have so much to be thankful for. I have so much I owe to him. I have so much that I hold back for myself. Jesus says, a real disciple, this is what he's going to do. So some of you I know in this room have accepted Jesus Christ, probably the majority of you. I don't believe everyone has, but I don't know your hearts, have accepted Jesus. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him with your life? And for those in the room that say, hey, Pastor, I never have asked Jesus Christ into my heart as my Savior. I need to make that decision. Make that decision this morning. Figure out who Jesus is. We want to help show you. And believe and trust in him. Let's go ahead and have everybody bow their head.